Good morning. Welcome back to our second Anchored in the Word morning reflection. And I hope that you joined us yesterday. And so you got a little bit of the introductory thoughts on this topic. Again, we are in Luke chapter 14. We're looking at verses 7 through 14 together. And our focus this week is living with an anticipation of the resurrection. And so this text of scripture is very practical and very helpful. Let's read it together, and then we will dig into part number two, and looking at this illustration of how the kingdom of God is pictured in a wedding and the covenant of marriage. Luke 14, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a man more honorable than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him that come say to thee, Give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Now this morning we will focus in on an illustration that Jesus loved to use in relationship to the kingdom. In fact, there's a song that we sing, Beulah Land, and that word Beulah has the idea of a wedding. And so he's talking about the kingdom of God in those terms. And when we think about the statement in verse 7, he put a parable to bid how they were choosing the chief rooms. That word parable is telling us that he was using an illustration to kind of teach a principle or a series of principles about the concept of the kingdom. And there are a lot of illustrations that Jesus used. I want to highlight some of them and then zero in on this last one of a wedding. For instance, one of the illustrations that he uses is that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, that of something that is growing from something that's very insignificant. And so he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. When we look at how God's kingdom grows, it looks small, doesn't seem like much is happening, but God is doing the work. Or in Matthew 13, 33, he says that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And so he's using this as an illustration to help us to understand that the kingdom of God grows organically. Another example, in Matthew 13, 44, he says the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. The idea is it's something that needs to be sought for diligently. And it's something that we should desire more than anything else in this world because of its immense value. Or in Matthew 13, 47, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. It's something that is filled with all kinds of people. And by the way, the text that we're looking at this week does talk about this concept. And then, Lord willing, a couple weeks from now, we're going to dig into a text that really does the same kind of thing. And then we see in Matthew 22:2 that the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who went and made a marriage for his son. And so when he talks about the kingdom in these terms, he refers to it as something that is like the covenant of marriage. And it's important for us to recognize that marriage is not just about two people. Marriage is about a picture that God ordained to help us to understand his relationship to people. And so God ordained marriage to be a picture of his covenant love for his people. And we can look at this both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. For instance, the Old Testament, when he's talking about the nation of Israel, he talked about the nation of Israel in covenantal terms like a marriage covenant. For instance, in Isaiah 54, he says, "Thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused. With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." You see the covenantal language where he's using the illustration of a wedding. Or in Ephesians 5:25, he says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. So even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, though he's talking about a nation versus a body of believers, he uses this covenantal language. And the reason for that is that he ordained this picture to be something that illustrates God's love. God's covenantal love is being highlighted all throughout Scripture, and that's why he uses this kind of a term. For instance, in Psalm 36, he says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Now, in the book of Ruth, when Boaz talks about the concept of a kinsman redeemer, and he talks about Ruth having left Moab to come and to be with God's covenant people, he talks about her coming under the shadow of the wings of the Lord. And when he refers to himself as a kinsman redeemer, he uses the same kind of covenantal language. Or that word loving kindness is a very well-known Hebrew term, chesed. And that term is something that has a lot of richness to it. It could be translated loving kindness, covenant faithfulness, mercy. Those are the kinds of terms that are used to describe this. Well, this is God's love for his people. It is a faithful, enduring, covenantal kind of love that he draws us to himself. Or Psalm 103, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." These are benefits that come as a fact that we are God's covenant people. We're in relationship with him. He says, "Forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals our diseases. He redeems our lives from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness." There's that word again, tender mercies. "He satisfieth our mouth with good things, and our youth is renewed like the eagles." So when we think about the kingdom of God and our relationship to God, he loves using the illustration of marriage. And that's because there's so many parallels here. For instance, we think about marriage, this is a covenant that is initiated. God ordained that a man should leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. He initiates this covenantal relationship. He invites us into everlasting relationship with himself. And we understand that marriage is supposed to be initiated by a man bringing this woman into covenant relationship till death separates them. This is God's plan. We see a third example. He wants to share himself with us forever. And what is marriage? It's the joining of two people to become one flesh. And this is the most intimate and personal of all relationships that people could have with themselves. And so we're talking about a covenantal, personal relationship. And then we also think of the fact that he cares for us in this relationship. And so there are obligations for the one who has reached out and initiated this relationship. And it's a relationship to be celebrated. So what do we take away from this? Well, what we take away from this is that God dearly loves us as his people. And he is faithful and we can trust him. And so I hope that this morning, as you reflect on these things, that is exactly what you'll do. You will rest in the relationship that you have to God, who has redeemed you to himself. Have a blessed rest of your morning. Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow. Bye now.